You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Podcast. I am Sir Matt.
And I'm Sir Jimmy of House Hunts. Welcome to our Song of Ice and Fire book club. Today, we're getting caught back up. We've been off for a few weeks. Me and Matt both were traveling, unable to record at all, really. So we're kind of getting caught back up. There's a whole lot of news. A lot of things have happened in the last 3 weeks, specifically George popping off, which seems to be more and more common in the last 2 years. Some House of the Dragon leaks and a new video game that doesn't sound super disappointing or sketchy, which is kind of exciting, among some other things. But Matt, how have you been over this break that we've had?
It's good. It doesn't seem as long, probably because we had that one episode we split up because it was like news and the chapter.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. But for us, it has been quite a bit. It's been even longer. Yeah, I almost actually messaged you last week, like, hey, could you record? But I was getting we got a whole new HVAC in our house.
Nice.
It's great. I no longer have to have this like portable air conditioner. I'd like crank it in this room before we hit record, because I'd, especially now that it's heating up, and I'd have like a little fan going. I try to put it in a spot where the microphone wouldn't catch it. So yeah, it's real nice. Now I just have this little register over here and it just does its thing. It's great.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, but then all this, it's any time that you and I like have to take a break, whether it was you go to Denver or I have something going on, all the news drops, and so we end up always covering it late, but it is what it is. How have you been?
I'm all right. The only annoyance really in my life, I mean, outside of like work stress, is I have had three bees nests built in I have a driveway, right, that leads into my garage, and right before the garage door there's like this crease in the pavement. And it goes down kind of far because they had to replace like concrete slabs there, I guess, before I moved in here. Long story, but it goes down a little deeper than it should probably. And I should have filled it, which I didn't. But I've been lived here for 4 years, never had an issue. We have had three bald-faced hornets nests. Dude, they're like burrowing into it and then building this nest. And they built one on top of like my garage door. And we've had it removed three times. And today I opened up the garage door and saw like 30 hornets, and I'm like, they're back. Like they're actually back again. And now what's annoying is like, I'm calling the pest control people to come take care of it. And they're like, well, we already removed it. I'm like, I'm aware, but you have to come and do it again, because these bees apparently love this crack in the cement. And the problem is I'm actually wanting to get it filled, but I haven't had any time. Like it's like 2 days later after the treatment, you know, and they're giving us stuff to put in it. So I'm also doing stuff.
Oh, wow.
And they just love that crease.
It must just be like the perfect spot.
Yeah. So anytime I open my garage door, it's like, all right, well, let's hopefully we don't get stung. Mrs. Nuts was stung. Which was enraging. And I felt stupid getting so mad at a little like bee, but I was like, how dare you sting my wife?
Hey,
the honor of my house. I was like, that's what I was like, okay, this is enough. And that was the third time we called him out. So I got him on the horn today. They'll be out tomorrow. And I just really, you know, I know bees are super important, but like maybe not in front of my house.
I don't think hornets are.
Well, if they're not, then
I don't know what they do, you know,
they're so aggressive though.
But
it's terrifying.
But I mean, like honeybees, those are the real important ones.
Yeah, we had a honeybee nest next to our front door, and
they don't sting you.
Oh, I let them go. I don't even care. It doesn't bother me. I mean, there's quite a few of them, but I let that one go last year. But bald-faced hornets are a different story, dude. They are.
I don't.
10 toes down, they will sting you.
I don't like bees at all. Period. I mean,
not a
I'm
fan.
Out. Not at I'm out. Speaking of being out, we could talk about some. There's a lot to break down. Like you said, we have a game to talk about. We have George did a kind of winner update. It's really kind of sad and depressing. So I think we should start with that and end with the game. Great. And then just go through the full wave of emotions here. So George had a Winds of Winter update, and which he hadn't actually posted in quite some while. So he posted May 26th. He didn't post again, or excuse me, he posted April 27th and didn't post again until then. He had two posts, May 26th and May 28th. So normally he posts like every week, and then some, but every once in a while he'll go like where time goes by. It's like, oh, he hasn't posted in a while. So he had his had this big post here called Howard Meets Hercules, and you know, and he's talking about some of the people he works with and friends and stuff like that. But he kind of was just talking about you know, some of these books he's editing and everything. He said, hey, you know, it's an adaptation of Howard's novella, A Dozen Tough Jobs. You know, he's talking about one of his friends and this thing that's getting done. And he said that essentially, you know, he's worked on some things. And he says, and here's where it gets interesting. He says, I know some of you would just be pissed by this, as you are by everything I announce here that is not about Westeros or the Winds of Winter. You have given up on me or on the book. I will never finish Winds. If I do, I will never finish A Dream of Spring. If I do, it won't be any good. I ought to get some other writer to pinch hit for me. I'm going to die soon anyway because I'm old. I lost all interest in A Song of Ice and Fire decades ago. I don't give a shit about writing any longer. I just sit and spend my money. I edit wild cards, but you hate wild cards. I mean, he just goes on and on about this. And then he, you know, finishes like, I do care about them. I do care about Westeros, the Starks, the Lannisters, the Targaryens, Tyrion, Asha, Dany, and Daenerys, the dragons and the direwolves. I do care about them all more than you can ever imagine.
Yeah, man. You know, I would say like George or straw manning or something, but I have my book YouTube channel where I cover, you know, science fiction, fantasy, but I cover like everything at this point. But a lot of my viewers are fantasy readers, and I peruse other channels, right? Like I go and check it out, and you would be shocked just how much vitriol there is still. You would imagine it's kind of like subside. No, not at all. And also just a lot of misinformation, Matt, I was in a book live stream the other night, and you know, it was decent sized, and people were like, George hasn't written. One person was like, George hasn't written a word since like 2011 or something. And I'm like, well, that's incorrect. Like, we know not true. And then second, I saw someone saying, actually, both books are done, but he doesn't want to get the blowback because season 8 was all his idea. And, like, they just make up these fantasy scenarios. And maybe it's more annoying for me and you because, you know, like many other people in this niche of like A Song of Ice and Fire, like we actually listen to what George is saying. Sometimes we try to extrapolate a little too much, but there are things that we do know for sure, taking George at his word. And like, it is very clear that he does not have the last two books done, you know, like that's, it's such a nonsense thing. So I don't want to get off on a side tangent, but my point is like, I get frustrated by these things. Like I get angry about these things. I can only imagine being the guy who's actually behind the books and behind these things that people seem to be so aggressive about, spread misinformation about, whatever else. So I feel for him here. I really do. And I think if you need proof that George cares, it's the fact that he hasn't released Winds. And I know that sounds weird, but like, it's very obvious that George could just release a book tomorrow and it would sell bazillion copies. And then he would have the monkey off his back and it'd be over. Now, people might hate it if he just phoned it in, but the fact he hasn't just phoned it in and just released something is actually, I think, a sign that he cares. We would like him to finish. But sometimes, Matt, I don't know about you, but like I fight with mental health stuff all the time. Like I am, you know, I'm usually fairly depressed. Matt can attest to this. Like I'm a pretty miserable person. But there's so much I care about in my life, but there's times where like I feel as if I cannot put forth the effort that it deserves. And then I just don't do it. Like it's a vicious cycle because you know, it'll make you feel good, but you can't get yourself to do it. And then you're stuck in this trap. And I don't know. I relate to that quite a bit. And there's so many people who don't seem to be able to see that perspective. And I kind of understand it, but I think there's just so much entitlement from readers and consumers.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I mean, it's one thing to say like, hey, you're upset, he's not liking the book and stuff like that. I mean, it's another to basically, you know, in his mind talk about like, you know, I mean, I don't give a shit about, he's saying he doesn't give a shit about writing anymore. He just sits around and spends his money. You hate everything else he's ever written. You know, I know some people have said things like, oh, well, like I wouldn't even, like at this point, like I wouldn't even treat like the next two books as canon because they'll just be influenced by the show and all these things. Like, dude, you people need a life.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's also the comical thing we get all the time, right? Is I don't even care about this anymore. It's like you clicked on a video.
Oh yeah, we get comments like that all the time.
Do you care
enough to click on a video and watch us talk about it and listen to us talk about it? Oh, it's totally the same. It's like right now, it's like the internet, and like you and I talked about, sometimes it really, like, different platforms have totally different mindsets about things. Like TikTok, super positive. Like on any A Song of Ice and Fire stuff, maybe because there's not a lot of A Song of Ice and Fire creators over there. But anytime we post anything, I post the same video on TikTok that I post on YouTube, and the comments could not be more night and day.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, Reddit is also a much more kind of negative place depending on which Reddit you're in. Right. Like there's not, I don't think there's really like a Song of Ice and Fire subreddit that is like just ultra positive about everything. Cause like I'm in a lot, like right now, you know, like the Nintendo Switch 2 came out. So I'm talking about it and I'm in all like many different, on my gaming channel, there's many different groups that I see that I'm in, and some are ultra positive and some are extremely negative about it. And it's just, you just see this night and day thing on the internet. So yeah, I mean, a lot of it just depends on where he's reading. And unfortunately, there's not really a lot of places that are like just ultra positive about A Song of Ice and Fire, really, except our YouTube channel here. But I'd say we are probably in the extremely pro positive and pro George crowd, to be fair.
Yeah, and we disagree with them too. Like and we'll probably get into it because we have new George taking shots at the House of the Dragon writing staff and Condell. I've disagreed with George R. R. Martin on things. He's my favorite author. And sure. I think he's brilliant. I think he's done something that is like just an absolute pillar of the fantasy genre and really just fiction in general. But I don't know. You and I usually try to take every situation at face value and address it from that point, right? Instead of saying, well, the book hasn't been out, therefore George is not writing, he's not doing this and that. The thing about all this is that it doesn't cost anyone anything to leave a comment on a video or to send George a mean tweet, because if they decide to read the book when it comes out, they're just going to, like, it doesn't, like, they're not going to be held accountable for that.
Right.
So it's just cheap.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure from George's perspective, I mean, every day that goes by, the weight of this book not being finished gets heavier and heavier. Mm-hmm. One, as he gets older and older. Two, as we get further and further away from everything, it becomes further and further, the relevance gets changed and tied up. You know what I mean? So, okay, now, like, that changes everything, right? Mm-hmm. As other Song of Ice and Fire projects come out, it's like, okay, but still, where is Winds of Winter? As other authors finish big series and everything, I mean, that, I'm sure that weighs on him too when you see other fandoms get big book series and big, you know, movies and all those releases, other things. Yeah, I mean, it's not like his stuff isn't, but at the same time, you know, I'm sure if you could ask him right now, would you rather see the Dunkin' Egg TV show get made, or would you rather have Winds of Winter finished? He would probably say Winds of Winter.
Being finished.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and actually that brought up something I think maybe we could talk about. I don't know if we have time for it today, but I did see somebody say something. You and I have talked about like winds being split before, like the possibility of that. And somebody said, if nothing else, and I want to do a dedicated video so we don't have to go super deep into this, but somebody said basically like, if nothing else, would you be fine with Winds and A Dream of Spring being almost like a Fire and Blood type, like if we like, let's say like George died and we didn't get it and somebody just pulled his notes together and they released it as almost like a Fire and Blood type thing, like a World of Ice and Fire where we just got the outline. Would you rather not know, or would you rather have the outline of what happened?
I think I would rather not have it.
Not now.
I'll tell you why. Now, to be fair, if George wrote it like a Fire and Blood thing and just wrapped it up, like I would read it and try to enjoy it. But you know, you picked a narrative style for your series, and this has not really been like an experimental series in many ways. Like that's something I would expect from like Blazin or maybe like someone like a China Mieville who's doing crazy stuff throughout all of his books. George definitely set up a certain way the story is being told, and I just think it would be really jarring to jump into something like that. Kind of like, honestly, the geographical split was a bit weird, right? Like that felt a little jarring to a lot of readers, especially if they've only read it one time. The thing that I don't like about that is people would look at the bullet points of it and go, this sucks, this doesn't make sense. Without, so you know what I mean? Like if you have you have points of like, oh, this happens, and this happens, it's really easy to go, well, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. But George is such a talented writer. He can make things work that might seem like it wouldn't work. The best example of this is Bran being king. That's like the one thing from the end of the show that we know for sure that George said, like in season 8, like towards the end. That was one thing that George had given them. Hey, Bran becomes king. And I have seen so many people say, well, that's stupid, I'm not reading the books then. Like maybe just trust the process a little bit. Like let's see where that story goes. And I think if you just have like a bullet point, it's so much easier to dismiss it and make light of it and make it seem very dumb because you weren't given the breadcrumbs to actually to get there. And you could actually point it to show at this, right? Everyone says like, oh, they had like bullet points and we like the ending points of a lot of these things, but we don't like how they got there. But it begins like a dialogue of like, well, none of this actually makes sense. So I think getting there, like the journey before destination, is it's said in Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sand. Like, I think that's valid. Yeah. But for me, it's actually beyond all that. It's just the narrative style. I think a shift in the narrative style like that would really bother me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess my thought on it is the idea of, let's say he died tomorrow, hopefully, you know, knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But I still want to know what happens.
Yeah, I think
so. I guess I'm saying if I would rather have that than not have it at all. Like, let's just say, you know, nobody can log into his passwords. Something happens. Everything gets deleted. We have no clue how it finishes.
Yeah,
I would rather know than not.
So that's interesting.
Even if it was just an outline.
I was taking it more as in like for George just to get it done, just release.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean.
Yeah, of course I would want to know.
Okay. Yeah.
That's fine. Would I be okay not knowing? Like there's right. so many yeah, people if say George this series doesn't it, have an ending. I hate it. And I'm not a part of that crew.
No, because I don't think George would have to. I don't think he'd have to. Because for him, I mean, he could just publish what he's got. And even if that's 0.5 of Winds of Winter, then.
Yeah.
I think at that, I think with half of Winds of Winter, we can like figure out, we can pretty much figure out the rest.
Maybe. I mean, he has.
Yeah. It's hard to, yeah.
I don't know if he knows exactly how it's going to go, but I do think George, it seems as if George has written enough of Winds of Winter that if he were to decide like it's over or something happens, whatever, like I think we'll see those manuscript pages at some point.
Yeah.
There's too much money for Penguin Random House, not the Harper's, whoever he's with. I can't remember. I think Harper's might be a part of Penguin Random House. I don't know, but there's too much money to be made.
Yeah,
that will get released some way.
All right,
Tolkien,
well,
you know, Tolkien, he would never have wanted all that stuff released that wasn't finished. And
right,
you know, I really don't think he would have liked that. But there was money to be made, so they got released.
Yeah. Well, George had some other comments here. He was in a he was doing a recent interview along with Joe Abercrombie.
My man.
First Law books, right? Jimmy likes those.
So good.
Nope. And basically one quote that really kind of got pulled out of this whole thing was George talking about dealing with television and writers and, you know, all these things. He said, essentially, you're adapting your book, your story, and they hire someone to do it and they empower this writer. Okay, take The Great Gatsby, but make it your own. And I don't want anyone to make The Great Gatsby their own, but I think I may be in the minority on the case here. Other people don't mind that, but I don't think in most of the cases where a Hollywood screenwriter makes something their own, they improve it. I think the majority of cases is the opposite, which this is the hard part. If he were speaking about this just in general, I think a lot of us would agree. is that more often than not, I can point to tons of projects where they came in and adapted it from something. And I think we can all look at it. A lot of books have been adapted terribly. Even some of the best things you can look at and be like, man, they really cut a lot of stuff out. Like even stuff like Harry Potter, right? I think kudos to them to making the final two movies, like the final book into two movies, which at the time actually had never really been done. I mean, really, that had, I cannot think of another, because like the fourth one, man, the book is so big, and they start like four or five chapters in. I mean, they really cut a lot of stuff out. And I think going back, if they knew that this whole franchise would have continued to turn into what it was, they might have split those up. But yeah, I mean, more often than not, it's not a case like Harry Potter where it's very good adaptation. People will argue about the Lord of the Rings not being a good adaptation, but we did not need the burning of the Shire to. I think the Academy Award spoke for itself when it comes to.
I'll let the Academy do this.
When it comes to the Lord of the Rings, and I will
argue too. Scene
right? Yeah. Anytime you get to the people that are like, I really didn't like the Lord of the Rings adaptation. Okay, nerd. I don't know what else to say. Like, I mean, dude, like, you're insane.
Okay, I'm talking Tolkien. Okay.
No, they don't even disagree. I mean, I know. But
shout out to Ez.
Yeah, shout out to Ez. But yeah, I mean, it's like, that's like a real small crowd, right?
Yeah, they suck.
But yeah, but more often than not, the adaptations are not particularly good. You know,
where's Tom Bombadil?
He's in the freaking Rings of Power, which is also soon to be canceled, I think.
But man, this is random.
We didn't talk about that, by the way.
Wheel of Time, but didn't cancel Rings of Power is crazy, because at least Wheel of Time season three, people liked it.
Yeah, that's what the general sentiment is. It seems like it was actually trending back in the right direction. Like, talked about it. I liked season one, hated the last episode. Season two, I could not get into, but everyone who I talked to who watched season three said, oh my God, like it's back on track. Like season three is really good. And then they cancel it.
It just wasn't making enough money, though. I mean,
that's it's probably sure it was at an enormous budget.
Yeah, and they wanted more. You know, it's tough, right? I'll tell you right now, we're in times with the current economic status of the world. You're going to see a lot of things getting canceled, even if they seem to do decently well. I think you're going to see studios tightening up, and I House of Dragons not safe. Dunkin' Egg isn't safe. Nothing is safe.
Well, actually, I'm thinking it's looking more and more like streaming, like in general. I think a lot of these big budget streaming things are coming down because the Andor season two of Andor, Disney basically said like they had to fight tooth and nail. It cost almost $1 billion. It was like $700 million to make.
I heard it was phenomenal.
It is absolutely phenomenal. But they had to fight tooth and nail for that, and that's not something that has a lot of like lightsabers and, you know, all sorts of other stuff. And I mean, a lot of, you know, compared to some of the other Star Wars things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think you're gonna see a lot more streaming shows get tightened down. Yeah. And especially now that the box office is actually beginning to pick up more and more. So
I've been into movies lately, actually. I've been swaying back. And Dune had like brought me back to the cinema in many ways.
There's more money. And that's the thing, is that it's funny because everyone's like, oh, movie theaters are dead because of COVID and streaming is the only way to go. And now it seems like it's actually the opposite case. Now it seems like as the box office has been growing and more people are going back to the movies, you're seeing studios say, actually, we don't want to put as much money into streaming because at least if it hits the box office, there's more money to be made.
Yeah, and Sinners, for example. I saw Sinners about 6 weeks after it launched. I saw it on a Tuesday at the latest showing. The theater was packed, Matt.
Yeah.
And by the way, the theater in general was busy on a Tuesday night. They weren't running deals or anything. It's an AMC. It's a middle of the road.
You know, historically, this will let me flex my history muscle.
Okay.
This will let me flex my history muscle here. All right. Historically, as the economy goes down, movie theaters actually tend to do better. Well, because it is a sort of cheap form of like entertainment.
Well, and we all know that theaters are nowhere near as cheap as they used to be. I mean, it's pretty outrageous. But for instance, me and Mrs. Nuts went, and on a Tuesday, I think we got in and out for like $32, And I'm like, we can't go out to eat for $32. No. Like, this is a great, you know, because I need something in the middle of the week to kind of jar the monotony so I don't jump off my roof. So for me, that $32 to feel like I'm not dying inside, pretty good.
No, I love going to the movies. I
hate other people in the movies.
You go, you get your popcorn, you get your snack. I'm fine watching the previews, get there early, get a good seat. I love the whole experience. What is your movie theater combo? What do you get?
I don't get anything.
What?
Yeah, nothing. I can't eat anything there. I just, if anything, I get a bottle of water. That's it.
You don't get popcorn?
No.
That's like the whole experience.
Minimally,
you have to get popcorn.
If they sold protein shakes, I'd do that.
Jesus Christ. No. You got to get a popcorn, and I get Junior Mints.
Oh, man. I haven't had a Junior Mint in a long time.
Does anybody actually buy those outside of the movie theaters? You see them in the grocery stores, but I cannot say that I have ever in my life seen anybody eating a box of Junior Mints outside of the movie theater.
I mean, I definitely did. But
they must sell because they sit on the shelf at grocery stores.
I'm a special kind of sicko, so you can't count me, but I have definitely bought boxes of Junior Mints in my past. Not many years, obviously. It's probably been a decade since I've had a Junior Mint.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, let's continue on here. Some more House of the Dragon news here, and then we'll finish with the game. But there's some leaks. We can kind of get into that a little bit here. There's also an episode. This is, some people are pretty pro, some people are not. Sarah Hess is the writer. I don't know. I think we've looked at the episodes and
didn't we come to the conclusion that her episodes were like half good, half meh? Like,
I think so. I think of all the episodes we really liked, we're just, yeah.
Like, it wasn't that horrible. Like, people made it sound,
but
like
she doesn't, like, but from what I, she doesn't really do the episodes that are like the big battle episodes. She does a lot more of the like character driven. Yeah. But showrunner Ryan Kandel there is a conceptual episode. We got to have a little fun this season, and there's a conceptual episode that I'm really excited about that Sarah Hess wrote, and that's all I'm going to say about it. It isn't the traditional vernacular of what we've laid out. It's very character-driven. I think it's really great, and I'm really excited to see it rendered. So the internet immediately was like, oh, God, it's dead. Show's dead. Yeah, show's over. It's cooked.
This is the problem, is like Sarah Hess has now become a person and a personality. So like they could be like, hey, she actually bought everyone a cake for episode 6, and they'd be like, oh, that episode's gonna suck because Sarah Hess was involved. Like, I'm not saying it's gonna be good either, but man, here's the thing. I think if this is back in like season 3 or 4 Game of Thrones and we heard, hey, there's a big character episode, we would have been thrilled, and we are.
Yeah.
But the audience was smaller back then, and those people understood like it was more about the characters, less about the explosions. But this new, you know, I mean, we're dealing with something totally different now. When people we're going to have like an intimate character driven episode, people are like, boring.
I know, like literally some of the comments. And again, this is Reddit, which is typically a little more, you know, like worst episode. This will be the worst episode of the series. I'm calling it now.
Wow, brave.
And then some other people are saying actually they think it's going to just be more of, it'll probably be a Rhaenyra Alicent flashback episode. I'd be down if we got Viserys back on screen. And
as long
we,
as it's, I mean, good TV, that's all I care about. I know, man. That's all I care about.
Yeah, sometimes you need those character driven things to help drive it. We have to see it first. I'm not in the, like, I saw it, I'm just like, okay, like, I mean, I need to see it first.
But you and I are such bad like content creators in that sense. Like,
we're not bad content creators. We're honest about our opinions, and if I'm not here just to talk negatively to get clicks.
But we should be like bombastic, like season 3 ruined, you know?
It's no.
Like, but we're just like, oh, cool, we'll have to wait and see. So not internet.
No. Well, hey, there are some season 3, and these are so early, I'm calling these leaks rumors.
Yeah.
And it's just stuff we've already talked about, saying the Battle of the Gauntlet will take up the last 20 minutes of the first episode of season 3. HBO feels extremely confident in this sequence. You know, just like big battles. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. that the Harrenhal subplot this season is a subject of great excitement with many of those working on the show. Scenes involving Kristen, Gawain, Aemon, Simon, Alice are set in Harrenhal, were some of the first scenes in the filming schedule. Mm-hmm. Scenes set in Harrenhal corridors, Great Hall. I mean, I don't know, but it's just like the first leaks from like a reputable leaker. But a lot of it is just stuff that we already kind of know. Like, yeah, there's going to be some Harrenhal stuff this season because they're still there and it's an important part of the story. There's nothing really, but the internet was kind of freaking out about this. And it's just like,
well, the Harrenhal subplot in season two is one that people point to and say it was boring and it sucked and we need to leave Harrenhal. But unfortunately for them, a lot of the stories are going to take place at Harrenhal. So like, sorry, right.
This leaker, and it kind of blew up because it's a pretty reputable, I don't really know it. I honestly, I do not follow any leakers, so I don't know. Kind of blew up on the Reddit, and people are saying the conceptual episode will actually be about Alice Rivers showcasing her origins as a wood witch from like the Weirwood Grove. So if it's more of like a mystic, like a magic oriented show episode, then like I'm down for that because we need that, and it was a big part of it, and it'll tie into the mystery of White Walkers and Wood Witch and, you know, all that stuff could be
huge.
One of the coolest things in Game of Thrones was Maggie the Frog and Cersei, and that was a very cool scene.
Yeah, we liked more of like almost the creepy, I don't want to say paranormal, but like fantastical stuff. Like, you and I like that, and Harrenhal has such like almost a, like, I don't know, I don't want to say Lovecraftian, but I'm kind of gonna say Lovecraftian, and George is a huge fan of Lovecraftian things, so to me, I don't know. I love those episodes. And we did say the Harrenhal stuff, it felt like it was a little bit treading water, but a lot of the Harrenhal stuff was fascinating for you and I. We were having a ball.
Loved it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, loved it.
Yeah. Not saying it wasn't perfect, but nothing is. I mean, there's stuff in the first four seasons of Game of Thrones I would change still. And I think it's the best movie ever made.
Yeah, there's a lot of season one that's kind of weird and rough. When you actually go back and look at it, you're like, this is a little rough. Like Tyrion.
Yeah,
like,
season two is where the show. Obviously, season one was amazing as far as like acting and writing and stuff. But like, there's a couple weird things.
Yeah, the bleach blonde hair of Tyrion.
Right? Yeah, that was not the best do for our boy Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. Okay. Then there was a game announced, and actually now I'm trying to find it, and I must not have saved it in Reddit. But I'll pull up some stuff here, and it is Game of Thrones. What is actually this game called?
World of War or something?
It essentially is, yeah. But it looks awesome. There's only like five screenshots of it, but it is going to be a real time strategy game.
Yes, War of Westeros, War for Westeros. It's going to be a PC release, and well more aligned with what we think about with Game of Thrones and scheming and plotting, which is why Crusader Kings 2 and 3 have a Game of Thrones mod that is one of the most popular things about that game. Phenomenal game, very hard to learn, but this is way more in line with what we would expect from a Westeros game if we're not going to get something that's like Skyrim. Like, we talked about the stupid game that just got released that doesn't
King's Road.
Yeah,
I mean, it's nice to see that they are, we've actually had two games coming, right? The fact that they are actually diving more into this franchise, right? And that, like, hey, they, we've talked about it because, like, God, we talked to years, it's like, God, why isn't there a good Game of Thrones game? And now suddenly we have one. So the developer is a company called Playside, who I'm kind of unfamiliar with, to be honest, but they do have a couple games in like this genre. The one is Age of Darkness, released earlier this year. So I would have to imagine. And then they have another one called Thrive, Heavy Lies, The Crown. And so I might actually go check those out. And actually, this one's on sale.
Well, they did Warcraft 3 Reforged.
They did. I'm on their Steam page here.
I'm on their actual website. So they did the Warcraft 3 Reforged re-release, which people really liked.
Yeah. So this, I mean, this seems like a way bigger studio than the studio that did the Game of Thrones King's Road.
Yeah, it looks like they do a lot of properties. Like, they did a lot of Batman, Superman, Toy Story, Ninja Turtles, SpongeBob. So they've done a lot of these type of games.
Now hold on a second here, because I typed them in and they came up. Their Stock price is 20 cents.
Here we go.
I mean, it has been in straight decline this year, and it got a little bit of a boost after the game was announced. But I don't know, man. I mean, not that I'm trying to get into stock stuff here, but
this coming might be 2026. Worth, better
this
get on
might,
now.
This might be worth buying now.
To the moon.
Yeah, that might be. I'll have to keep that on my radar here. But yeah, I mean, overall, and the trailer is actually really cool because it shows a fight between like Jon Snow and the Night King, which is literally like all the comments were like, even if it still ended the same way where Arya kills the Night King and all this stuff, but like if the Night King and Jon Snow had actually fought, like even for a few minutes, I think the ending to season 8, that's one other piece of like the, oh, what could you, what like small changes you could have done to fix season 8.
Yeah.
Like maybe. They should have fought, even if it still ended with Jon not being able to kill him. Right. But then it's like, oh, like Arya is the one who did it, because he did kind of trick the dragon. You know, he held the dragon off. Like, but like, if Jon and him had actually fought a little bit, that could have been that, like that. Okay. Now
yeah, it's one of the biggest misses, right?
By far.
And then Jon didn't fight Grey Worm either. Just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Very, totally. It seemed like they really did not want to give Jon Snow his time. They felt like he had enough, which is a very dumb way of telling a story.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a lot of news to unpack, Jimmy. I mean, how do you feel about the Song of Ice and Fire state?
Do you want me to be honest here? Because yeah. I'll be honest. So I'm almost like dreading season 3 of House of the Dragon, not because of the quality of the show, but just the discourse, because you and I do have to dip our toe into the general audience a little bit more. It's mostly on YouTube. Our audio platform is far bigger than what we do on YouTube. YouTube is a fraction of what we get audio listener wise. Audio listeners have always been a lot more, dare I say, thoughtful. We have some great YouTube commenters, though, to be clear. But
we do, for sure.
We get a lot more of the general, not our audience people that comment. So I'm kind of dreading covering season 3 as exhausting.
Is it going to be better or worse if, depending on how Duncan Egg, like if Duncan Egg flops,
I think we are probably in that territory where you don't see anything Westeros for like 10 years. I don't think
Dragon season 3.
Yeah. I mean, they'll finish House of the Dragon or cancel it. But like, I think that Duncan Egg is like, can this property keep going type deal? Now we do know they're already like working on movies and stuff. I don't know how that would affect it.
I don't think Duncan Egg is going to flop.
Well, I am optimistic about the quality of the show, but I'm more worried about the audience.
If Duncan Egg cooks, then it might be.
Oh, it's huge.
Well, then it's going to turn into, you know, they'd hope to make it like Hightower's, like the Greens versus the Blacks.
Yeah,
in the fandom now, it will turn into a like Duncan Egg verse.
Yeah,
which is kind of like what's happened in Star Wars a little bit, where it's like, see, it's like Andor versus everything else. But Andor season two was so good that I think it kind of brought everyone together. To be fair, I do think it kind of like it did a lot of healing for Star Wars. To be fair,
oh for sure, and that would be great. I think, you know, Duncan Egg being a huge hit. My worry, Matt, though, is like we are dealing with a totally different audience. Like people who got into the show in season 7 and 8 are used to only blockbuster things happening.
Yeah.
And Duncan Egg is not that. It's not a blockbuster. And I just think that I'm really worried about that. But
I don't know, though. I don't know. Now, also, one last piece of news, which we haven't talked about, is freaking Warner Brothers is breaking apart again.
Dude, don't even. I'm so.
But angry. They're breaking into like one channel is going to be one side of it, so it's kind of like all these things came together and, you know, broke apart and stuff like that. But now it's basically like, it's not necessarily like Warner Brothers and Discovery are splitting up. It's more like
HBO.
Yeah, it's more like HBO, DC, like the big content studios are breaking off, and like that's going to be the streaming platform and all of these other things. The other side is more going to be like what's on cable. So like. Sports is going this way and CNN is going this way, which honestly I'm freaking fine with.
Yeah,
like not CNN. I like CNN, but I mean just I think it is actually a good split.
It's a great split because we're hoping budgets don't get mixed up, right?
Right.
You're not going to see the sins of like sports being NBA being down affect House of the Dragon or whatever.
Right. But now it's like now you have to focus on streaming.
Yeah.
Right. Because yeah. my guess is that they look and I've read some of the Zaslav's interviews and stuff is the CEO and he's actually going with the HBO portion of it.
That scares the shit out of me.
That does scare me. But at least to his credit, he has talked about like the value of like the streaming and everything. Because my guess would be that they legitimately think, and I would say I think this is probably true, which is why they changed the name back to HBO Max, is because I think they think they could turn it into like it should be as valuable as Netflix.
Bro, I mean, we said this back whenever they said, hey, we're actually putting Discovery first, and we were like, what are you doing? You have the greatest television ever.
Yeah. I mean, I do get their idea behind I think what they were looking at, and I kind of agreed with it back in the day, was like, well, it's hard to you don't view like HBO the same way you view like Disney. Like when you think of Disney, you think of like everything, which now includes Marvel and Star Wars. Yeah. When you think HBO, you don't necessarily think like, oh, there's Cartoon Network and there's DC and there's Harry Potter. You kind of think more like, oh, it's like The Sopranos and The Wire.
The best TV ever made. Yeah,
exactly. But you don't think of that of the other value. So you do kind of lose a little bit of the value in it. But I think then they tried Max and it was stupid. I think they should have just called it Warner Brothers Plus.
Probably would have
been like better. The Warner Brothers name is big, but like people don't necessarily think, oh, like HBO is part of.
Yeah.
Warner Brothers. And that's a tough disconnect. And now people want bundles in their streaming. So it's kind of. It's kind of hard. That's why Disney's great. I mean, it just says the name. Like they branded it right to where you think.
Oh, yeah, it's one of the most recognizable brands in the world.
Right, exactly. Where you think of all that stuff, where you don't necessarily think about it in terms of in terms of Warner Brothers and what all properties they control. But anyway, long story short, I think that is also part of now, like, because before we were talking about whether rebranding it, maybe that's why they're moving Dunkin' Egg. Now I know. They're moving Dunkin' Egg because we talked about the pit. Now you know they're doing it because the companies are splitting up and they want it to fall on that balance sheet. Not
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I think that's even more now why they're moving House of the Dragon back. And this, I think it's totally now just because of the way the companies are going to be split.
Yeah. And I'm sure we're worried about it. Restructuring internally as well, like layoffs and marketing, and they're probably going to come up with a whole different kind of strategy about how to get these shows out. And
I mean, if anything, it means that HBO is now even like higher up in the food chain of the company.
I don't know, it's like so fickle, you know?
So much of it, I mean, so much of it still really depends on Superman and how much money that movie makes, which I think it's gonna be huge.
I hope so. I don't even care about it, but I just hope it does well just for Warner Brothers in general.
Yeah. So that they, yeah. Cause we don't want this to be freaking, we don't want season 3 to come out and just like Lord of the Rings of Power and be like, yeah, we're good.
But we're good.
Wheel of Time. I don't think you can compare Wheel of Time and House of the Dragon. I don't even think they're on the same sphere of quality of a show.
I don't. Yeah. I don't think very highly of Wheel of Time in general. So,
Okay. Well, anything else, Jimmy?
No, sir. That is it for us. Getting caught up. It was a lot to catch up on. And honestly, we probably could have expanded on each topic for like another 20 minutes, but we wanted to get caught up so we can get back in the groove.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember what chapter we're on, but
four, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I think.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes. And it's a good one. So we will be back with that next week, back into the books, continuing our march through A Storm of Swords. We're heading into the Purple Wedding. We're heading into Tyrion's trial and all of that is what we have coming down the pipe.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you like our podcast, don't forget to subscribe, like us, write a review, leave a comment, or send us a raven at btkcast@gmail.com or bendtheknee.podcast.com.
We'll see you next time. And remember that winter is coming.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.